I'd like you to turn with me this evening to Matthew chapter 10 and our text, which will be a platform and launching pad for us this evening, is found in verse 16. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, a familiar text. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. My subject this evening is balance in the gospel, striving for the right biblical, a worthy balance in the gospel, in both our message and in the methods that we employ in seeking to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This will be a single study this evening. I want us to look at this important subject. This chapter is about the commissioning of the disciples over the history of the church, right down since the Lord commissioned his disciples. There has been an ebbing and a flowing of the definition of the gospel. Sometimes it's become very broad. Sometimes it's become very narrow. But we need to have a biblical understanding. The methods that are employed have become very wide in recent years. Some of them, I sincerely believe, are not consistent with the methods laid out in this chapter. So we regularly need to come back and ask the question, is the message that we proclaim honourable and worthy and faithful to the principles taught by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the practice of the apostles? And are the methods that we're using, are these the right and honourable methods that give due honour and respect to the principles that are set out for us in God's word? These things do shift, and we need to come back and look at these things again. Well, Matthew chapter 10 is one of the three commissioning passages which are in the Gospels. On this occasion, it's the 12 disciples who are to be sent out to proclaim, to testify, to live out the gospel, to spread it. In Matthew chapter 28, there is a further, much, much shorter summary account of how the 12 disciples are sent out. It's much less detailed. And then we see in Luke chapter 10, there is that occasion when not 12, but 70 disciples are sent out. The first two occasions, Matthew 10 and Matthew 28, are the 12, and they are limited to go to speak to the Jews. They're to go to Galilee. They're not to go to the Gentiles. They're not to go to Samaria and beyond. But in Luke chapter 10, where the 70 disciples are sent, they have no such restriction. So here's three occasions, probably three, probably not two, definitely two, but probably three occasions where the Lord Jesus Christ sends out a number of his followers, and they are to go and proclaim, and they are to teach. They are to go out and proclaim the whole counsel of God. It says that in Acts chapter 20. We'll look at that verse this coming Sunday morning, God willing. We are to correctly divide the word of truth. We're to have the right division of what is important. And as we thought recently, we're to contend earnestly for the faith. So these are instructions given to us through the New Testament. We're striving for faithfulness. We're striving for a correct understanding, giving due weight to all the important things. There is an unfaithful way and there is a faithful way. We only have to look across Christendom, as it's called, and see that there are deeply conflicting ways which take the balance to one extreme or to the other. So I want to look at some of these things this evening. But we first look at our text here in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Behold, the Lord Jesus speaking, listen carefully, I've got instructions for you. Behold, I send you forth. The word is apostello. It's a commissioning, a sending out, a setting apart. Those who are to go out, and it's the same with us, it's the Lord's people, we've been set apart and we're being sent by Christ himself to take the gospel. This is not just for ministers, it's not just for preachers, it's not just for the apostles, it's for all of the Lord's people. Behold, I send you forth as sheep. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. So the Lord is giving a number of instructions. We are to proclaim, to preach, and to testify. That's mentioned throughout this chapter. And we've got to be a worthy representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see that in a verse shortly. We're to strike a very careful balance. There are truths within the gospel, and we could emphasize one at the exclusion of another. There is a truth. I heard this when I was a teenager. It was part of my conversion. A preacher once said this, if you take half the truth and you make it all the truth, you make the half-truth a lie. If you emphasize one thing at the exclusion of others, you're not representing faithfully the whole counsel of God. You're not correctly dividing the word of God. So we need this balance. And the Lord Jesus Christ uses two pictures. He says, as you go out as sheep, you've got dangers. You are vulnerable. You're vulnerable to attack. You're vulnerable to hiding like a sheep. You're vulnerable to getting lost. You're vulnerable to injury. So be warned. Be instructed. Strike this careful balance. And he's using two very seemingly contradictory pictures. The first one is this. You are to be wise as serpents. That's a very strange picture to use. Our mind immediately goes back to Genesis chapter 3. And we think of the beast of the field, the serpent. It's in our translation, serpent. It was some creature that was subtle and the most shrewd. And we think of it as a serpent. He was more subtle than any other beast of the field. So we think of this as evil wisdom. It's a picture used in ancient Eastern literature quite commonly. The serpent was known as the shrewdest of all creatures. So the picture here is of shrewdness, sagacity, a sage-like mind, and being wise and discreet and thoughtful. So that's what we are to be on one hand. But the second picture is that we are to be as harmless as doves. Now that word means simple. We are to be as plain and as straightforward and as unsophisticated and sincere as a dove. We're to be blameless. We're to be without guile, innocent, straightforward. So we have these two quite different characteristics that we're to uphold. We're to be shrewd and we're to be simple. There seems to be a contradiction. As harmless as a dove, the inference there is of the Holy Spirit. We thought of the dove that came as a representative of the Holy Spirit at the baptism of the Lord Jesus last Sunday morning. The dove, the figure, the picture of the Holy Spirit. And that's important because in reconciling these two different pictures, the serpent, the dove, the shrewd and the simple, it's the Holy Spirit that will enable the disciples to do this. That's the only way. If the Holy Spirit goes ahead and the gospel goes in and through the work of the Holy Spirit. So wise as serpents, harmless as doves. The reconciliation of these two pictures and these two principles to become one is that we are to strive for balance. That's the principle that's being taught here. I send you forth, you are to strike a delicate balance to uphold in the gospel and in the method as you go out this beautiful balance with all the truth that I've taught you. And you're to try and strike that perfect balance as you go out. And it's the Holy Spirit that will enable you to do that. Now, I'm not advocating, please don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating compromise in any way. We uphold all the truths, and we'll look at them shortly, the essential truths of the gospel message and of the gospel method. And we need to have them, to weigh them and to strike a balance so that we are faithful representatives as we go out. Here's the 12 disciples. The Lord Jesus is saying, you're about to go. I'm sending you forth. Be careful. This is dangerous. You will be vulnerable. And in going forth and in being careful, you are to strike this biblical balance. He's going to say, all things whatsoever I have commanded you, you are to uphold. I've taught you over these 3 years, taught you the principles. I've taught you all the essential elements of how the gospel works. What is the way of salvation? I've taught you about the kingdom of God. And you are now to put those things forward in the message and in the way that you engage with people. Now, this is relevant for preachers, for gospel preaching. It's relevant in our personal witness. And it's incredibly relevant in the way that we engage with children in Sunday school and in Bible class. This is to be the same set of principles. We need this balance so that we're worthy representatives of Christ. So I want to try and show you this in 10 areas. We look at them briefly, and I hope these are not controversial. I don't believe any of them are. They're all very, very plain. But the key and the challenge is where we strike the balance between two elements in each of the 10 things. Let me try to show you. So we have this principle here of balance. The first one, the first area. The gospel is about, this is very obvious, simple point. The gospel is about God and it's about man. It's about humanity. Now, when we teach the gospel, is all the emphasis that we're going to be put about the human need? If you look at something like the Alpha Course, 90% of the material is all about the human need. It doesn't give due weight to the call of God, the requirements of God, the holiness of God, the call to repent and to turn from sin. It speaks about our need for friendship, our need for meaning. And it goes to one extreme, not taking that balance. Yes, we do have needs. In the gospel, we can look at the needs of our soul, the needs of our heart. But we need to have that balance between the requirements of God and the call of God, that we're to turn, to repent, and to leave the world. Let's look at a second vital area. This also, I think, is very clear, and these are essential components of the gospel. The second area, the gospel is not just about God and man, it's about law and grace. In the way we explain to others and teach the children, Do we put 90% emphasis upon grace and only 10% on the law of God? That has happened. It's quite possible that we just give the benefits and we give the attractions and we don't talk about the difficult part. The fact that we are short of God's standards, that we've come desperately short. And the law sets a standard and we can't meet it. So again, we need to balance law and grace. I mustn't preach all about law, 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 sin, sin, sin. We also need to give the appeal, the graciousness of the gospel. We need to speak about the love of Christ, the tenderness of Christ, the mercy of Christ. We need the right balance. And I'm sure these are things that the disciples would have had on their mind. In all the Lord Jesus' teaching, he beautifully balances God and man, law and grace. Well, let's think of a third area. There is a special word, and there is also the ordinary means of the gospel and of the word of God. There has been a temptation sometimes for people to be encouraged to wait for some very special, definitive, the verse for me, the day, the time, the hour when God spoke specifically to me. That does happen. I'm sure it happens to all of us at different times. In wonderful ways, God does speak. But sometimes God speaks through the ordinary means, the everyday means, the drip, 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 if we can give it a very down-to-earth expression, the line upon line, the precept upon precept, and gradually we come to a dawning realization, the word of God is true. I need to make my peace with God. I need to come before him. And there is no specific day. There was no specific flash of light. There was no specific verse. It's just the ordinary means, the weight of the truth of the glory of God revealed in the gospel, perhaps over many, many years. So let's give due weight. There are testimonies that we hear, and they go to the opposite extremes. Both of them are possible. There can be a very specific time, but for many that's not the case. Let's give due allowance for that. There will be those who are across that spectrum. I'm sure we've all heard testimonies like that. People can't say the time, they can't even say the year. They just know that once I didn't believe, and now I do. Once I was lost, now I was found and saved, and they now have a conviction, an assurance, and that's fine, that's right. So that's the third area. Let's think of a fourth one. This is an area where many have difficulties, and I want to spend a little bit more time. We have taught so clearly in the Word of God. I'm not going to try to prove these two truths. They're absolutely clear. But the question is, how do we bring them and give them balance? There is man's free will, humanity's choice, the ability that we each have to choose right and wrong. We're made in the image of God, and God has given us the ability to choose. Now, the Bible teaches that because of the fall, because every facet and department of our life is affected by sin, that no longer do we typically choose what's good and right. We call that total depravity. And therefore, I cannot choose God. He must choose me. That's man's free will. On the other side, we have the sovereignty of God. We know that God is sovereign in life, in the universe, and in salvation. And the Bible clearly teaches that if any man is to be right with God, if anybody is to say this is a sovereign work of God, we cannot do it. We cannot even contribute to our salvation. It's Christ who works within us. It's a work of the Holy Spirit to soften the heart. Now we could go, and over history, people have gone to the two extremes. You know the labels for these. If you put all the emphasis upon the sovereignty of God, and you never preach the gospel, you never witness, you never lay the responsibility that we have to repent and to turn and to seek Christ, we call that a hyper-Calvinist position. If you take the opposite extreme and say that God is totally dependent upon us to seek him, and he sits there almost helplessly because it's up to us to accept Christ, us to receive Christ, we must turn, we must repent, that's an Arminian thinking. Both of those positions are not honouring to the truths. So how do we find this balance, the beautiful biblical balance? Well, we find it like this. We know theologically, because the Bible teaches it, that salvation is of God. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, 100%. But, as I want to show you in a text, even Christ lays a responsibility upon us if we do not repent. And when we preach, and when we witness, and when we teach, we plead the gospel. And we put the responsibility upon us. Now we know as Christians that only when the Lord works will a person be humbled. Now let me try and prove that to you just with one text. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11 and to verse 20 and 21. We have looked at this chapter in the course of last year. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20. Then began he, this is the Lord Jesus, he began to upbraid, that means to rebuke in a very strong way. He's going to places that he's been to again and again, Chorazin and Bethsaida. They were villages and fishing villages on the north coast of Galilee, and he now begins to tell them. He says, he rebukes the cities, towns, villages, wherein most of his mighty works were done. He gave the evidence of the gospel. He proved that he was the Son of God. He proved that he was divine and he was human. And he says to them, where most of my mighty works were done, because they had a responsibility to repent. I urged them. I called them. I pleaded with them to repent. But they repented not. It gets more strong. Verse 21. Woe unto thee. You will bear the consequences. You had the opportunity. I gave you all the evidence. I pleaded with you. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works, all the miracles, the teaching, the healing, the evidence, the power over nature that I demonstrated were done in you, I'm amplifying the verse, if they had been done in Tyre and Sidon, godless places, over on the Mediterranean coast, they would have repented. You see, there is a responsibility for us to hear the gospel. And you see, that's how we balance these two things. They don't conflict. In the mind of God, he is sovereign. In our lives, he is sovereign. In salvation, he is sovereign. But we strike this balance. And we tell people that they must repent. And that's so clear. We've been seeing that in the book of Acts. That's the model, the method of the apostles as they go out and preach and teach and persuade. Well, let's look at a fourth area of the gospel message, and particularly the method. We look down over the years, we look through the pages of scripture, And we see at different times the Lord has worked at a scale and a depth which vastly, vastly outweighs the way he's worked in other times. We call it revival, when thousands upon thousands have turned to the Lord. And then we have other times. We call them a time of small things. They're not small. Every single one is a conversion, is a miracle. But we have these two contrasts. Are we to wait for revival and say there's no hope until the Lord works and have no gospel labours? Or are we to believe that it's just through our effort and gospel labours that there will be success? No, we strike the balance. This is God's prerogative. It's his determination as to how and at what scale and what depth he works. Our responsibility as we go out, as we're commissioned, is to rely on the Lord. He will give the blessing. He will give the increase. It might be small, limited. It might be vast. That's his determination. Well, a sixth area. In the message, in our method, are we to appeal to the mind or to the heart? Do we appeal to the intellectual, rational faculty, or do we appeal to the emotions? The answer, of course, is both. The Lord Jesus, when he preached, he preached in a way that was rational. He laid argument upon argument. He was seeking to convince the mind of the ugliness of sin, of the loveliness of Christ, and of his genuineness. And at the same time, he was appealing to the heart. And he was saying, as we thought on Sunday evening, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," he pleaded, "I would have gathered you." That was an emotional argument that he was using. The two come together. Now, we mustn't go to one extreme. We become overly intellectual. We're just interested in intellectual arguments, facts, figures, dates, names. No, we must balance. We appeal to the mind and to the heart. In the last 50 years particularly, the churches have probably veered towards the vastly emotional. In the time of the late 19th century, they veered towards the intellectual. We need the right balance. We appeal and we reason and we teach and we witness with arguments to the mind, and we also appeal to the heart. We don't have one more than the other. It's a balanced message and method. The seventh area, we come quickly to conclusion. Repentance and faith. Is it just about faith? Believe, 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 trust? Or do we need to turn from sin? Do we need a new life? Do we need to repent and leave our old ways? The answer, of course, is we need both. Repentance and faith, they come together. The gospel is not right and pure and faithful unless we teach both. We must urge people to turn and to repent and to feel their old lives and the conviction of sin. At the same time, we want them to trust in Christ. We want them to believe in his word. We want them to put all their hope in him for salvation. The eighth one, Lord and Saviour. Some teach today you can have Christ just as Saviour. You can have all the forgiveness and the friendship and the love of Christ, but you don't need to have him as your Lord. He doesn't need to rule your life. He doesn't need to be the authority, the supreme authority. No, he must be Lord and Saviour. Well, just two more. Heaven and hell. You might think this is repetitive. These are two aspects. Do we teach a message that emphasizes only heaven? Or do we mention sometimes, in a tender way, the consequences of the holiness of God are that there is a hell, and that we don't want to scare people and frighten people, but they need to know the reality of being sent for eternity away from God. But we mustn't overemphasize that. I remember some teachers at Sunday school 30 years ago, and there was one particular occasion where we heard a few weeks later that some particularly young children had gone home fearful and frightened. The parents never allowed their children to come again. Well, we could say that's the offense of the gospel. Or we could say that perhaps there should have been a balance, a tenderness, an explanation that was more rounded. But the tenth area, as we conclude, is the gospel just about statements, or is it about persuasion? Do we find the method of the Lord Jesus and the apostles in the epistles, in the gospels? Do we find it's just statement after statement after statement? Or do we find that the truth is taken, applied to the heart, reasoned and persuaded? We have verses like this: "Why will ye die?" Appealing to the heart, appealing as to the unreasonableness of not repenting. The method is persuasion. We need both. We need to state the truth, and we then need to apply it to the heart. So that's our text this evening. Let's turn back to it. "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." You're going out. You're going with a message. You're going with a method. You need to be instructed. Be very careful. You will be vulnerable. You will be subject to attack. You could go to one extreme or to the other. You need to have this inherent balance and beauty, where we bring these 10 couplets together and we strike a biblical balance. We speak about God and man. We speak about heaven and hell, repentance and faith, Lord and Saviour. We look for revival. We look for the Lord working in any time and in any place. We depend upon the special text and the special word, but we also look for the ordinary means. These are just some of the ways in which we can see God's message, God's method. And this is what we strive for. And we have to again and again, and I speak to myself, is this the way I represent the Saviour? Is this the way I talk to children, talk to neighbours? Is this the way I preach the gospel? Am I giving the right balance to all these factors? This is a God-honouring way to preach the gospel, to live the Christian life. And we must give due heed. And I believe that's the principle. "Be ye therefore wise as serpents," shrewd, thoughtful, and harmless. Simple, straightforward, giving due credence and balance to all that God has laid upon our heart and to his truth. May the Lord help us in these things.